Welcome to Supernormalized. I'm your host, CJ Barnaby, and I like to challenge what's considered normal and invite people just like you to share your story, wisdom, and truth. Each week, I explore deep healing modalities, supernatural abilities, spiritual contact, and the often unexplained whilst leaning into acceptance, personal growth, and real healing. If you're ready to step into a world where your story matters, you're in the right place. Enjoy finally being supernormalized. Today on Supernormalize, we have Hans Wilhelm. Hans is a student of the works of Gabriel and has done work with Byron Katie and is influenced also by the works of Edgar Cayce in his understanding. And what Hans does is he takes spiritual concepts and distills them down into a simpler understanding for people that may be in a hurry or have never really understood these things before. So we talk about his process, how he came to that today, and what his purpose is in this as well, and what his drives are. It's a really good conversation. I love Hans's work. I watched some of his videos last night. I subscribed to his channel. I'll offer those links to his channel in the show notes here as well. And really, it's great work. Hans explains so beautifully and simply and has such a wonderful, calming, centered and loving voice. I appreciated all that we shared today, so I'm sure you'll enjoy. On with the show. Welcome to Supernormalized, Hans Wilhelm. Hans, I've got to ask you, is your service to others about to the all about the idea of bringing people into a greater sense of consciousness? And welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tina, for inviting me. That's a big question. I tell you what, I'm a pretty selfish person in a way. I do the videos, which we may talk about later, largely for myself to understand the spiritual laws myself better. And when I do this, then I share it with others, and those who find it helpful will hopefully be inspired, and those who can't work with it, that's fine too. I don't have a real mission to tell everybody about it. I share what I understand and what I love, and that's, I think, let the people come to those who are ready for it. So my mission is I guess I just put it out there, that's all, and I hope for the best, because I trust there's a team on the other side, and I don't know who it is and what they do, but they have been very successful so far to put millions of people in contact with my videos, and
brilliant. Yeah, your spirit team is doing great work as well.
Yes, love they that. Are.
Can you name a single moment or person that most changed the direction of your spiritual life when you were young?
Well, first thing which comes to my mind was, and I was in the movie house. This is in Germany, of course, you can hear from my language. And it was a very basic holiday vacation movie, nothing special. It was in Italy, I remember distinctly, and there was a professor, a mad professor, and this big blackboard behind him with lots of formula which nobody understands. And there in the corner on the right-hand side, there was a tiny little formula which said 1 + 1 = 1. And when I saw that, it just went through my system like nothing before. And it says, that is true. This is right. It's all one. It's all unity. It all belongs together. There is no such thing as separation. Anyway, that was the first time. And from there on, I doubted very much the official religious teachings from the organized religions. Mm. I grew up in a Christian environment, not necessarily household, but they didn't answer the important question, where do I come from, why I'm here, and where I'm going. They were mumbling about it. There were no clear answers. It was only much later, when I was just 20 and I lived in Africa, when I came into contact with the teachings of Edgar Cayce. And for the first time, I heard about reincarnation, and also that Christ taught reincarnation. And that opened everything up for me, because suddenly I could make sense of everything around me, why there were rich, powerful people and poor people and sick people and healthy people. Suddenly, through the law of karma, the cause and effect, which Christ spoke about as well, but it was suppressed, suddenly a lot of things make sense. And there it was just one spiritual path after the other. So that's where we are here now.
I don't know about those teachings of Christ. I mean, I did go through a similar experience when I was younger with the disillusionment around Christianity. I actually grew up in a Christian family as well. And I found that the priest couldn't answer the questions that I was asking. And And I was the bane of the Sunday school. So
no, they don't. They don't.
Oh, they don't like it.
They took out the teaching of reincarnation in the 3rd century, and until that time reincarnation was part of the Christian teaching, and then they took it out and suddenly they couldn't explain anything anymore.
How strange. They shouldn't have done that. What held you back for so long from sharing your mystical belief experiences publicly?
Well, I believe your personal beliefs are similar, like political beliefs are very personal, and you don't go around, and I don't like anybody knocking at my door and telling me a Jehovah Witness, I have to join them, whatever. I'm good for them, but I don't like to be taught into any religious beliefs. And I always believed that is totally for myself, and I kept it to myself. I never really taught it to anybody or spoke about it. It was only when my father died, just before he died, and he was not believing in life after death, and I told him that just in case he may be wrong, these are the 10 things which may happen if his consciousness survives, and he will find himself still alive when he thinks he is dead. So he smiled, and then a few days later he died, and I totally forgot about it. It was only 5 years later when I went to a bookstore and a total stranger came up to me and says, I saw you entering the store, and when you came in here, your father in spirit came to me, I'm a medium, and said to me, go to this man and tell him whatever he has told me about life after death is true, and I'm deeply, deeply grateful to him for telling me this. And then he said, I'm now working on the receiving side of souls which have died, and I see the utter confusion. Souls are not even aware that they are dead, and they are totally confused. They don't know what to expect, and it's very difficult. Would I please write books about it and share what I know with others so that others are more prepared? And I gave it some thoughts and decided, instead of books, to make YouTubes. I make very short YouTubes. I am, by profession, an illustrator and a writer of children's books. I've got many, many children's books. So I do a little bit of illustrations and explaining it. So in my very short videos, which are only 5 to 10 minutes long, I show things, for instance, like the law of karma, where I draw it. Somebody hitting someone there, and then this goes stored in their body, in their soul, in the Akashic records, in the planets. From there, it eventually returns as karma to the sender. When you see that visually in those videos, all these spiritual laws make total sense to me and to a lot of other people as well. And I keep in mind Albert Einstein's quote. He says, if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you probably haven't understood it yourself. So I must be able to understand it for myself very clearly. And I do this with the drawings. And that's why I said earlier, I share this, what I find out, with other people. And if they like it, that's great. And if not, it's also great.
That's fantastic. I love that story. The fact that your father crossed over a disbeliever, and then, because he's gone back into his greater consciousness and understanding, suddenly realizes on the other side that everything you said was right, you know, and then came to tell you that through a medium. That is totally cool. Yeah. I really love that. And I think that's what happens to a lot of souls that are on this side, that, you know, that people may be deaf to your understanding, but they're not. It's not that they can't fully accept it. It's just that they're not that resonance yet.
Well, they were never exposed to it. I mean, if you're not exposed to the idea of reincarnation and stuff like this, we grew up in a very limited kind of environment. Most people, very limited.
My father was very similar in that way, and he. Like I tried to expose him to Zen and understanding of consciousness and how things work, and because of my own experiences as well. And again, you know, I've got to say, this is really odd that you said that, because I had a similar experience with a medium too. When I went and saw this medium, I didn't know what the purpose of seeing the medium was. My friend said, go see, you're going to have an experience you won't explain. I said, okay. And I sat down with this medium and she says, there's a guy here and he wants to talk to you. And then she just went into his character and said, you know what, son, all those things you were trying to tell me, they were right. Oh. I was like, what? And I started crying. And he said, I'm so glad that you said those things to me, because once I got on the other side, it all made sense. And I'm like, oh. So
It's funny, the same story.
I know, but it's the thing that when you said that, I was like, what? This is exactly what happened to me.
Yeah, I love this.
So for me, that's more confirmation of that understanding and the spirit ascension. You know what I mean? When you get the other side, you know, we may have this limited view that we have of life when we're here, but that's just because of the story we've been told to live this time.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this is the travel, this is the experience we're meant to have, that's totally fine. It doesn't matter.
No.
But when you get back on the other side, it's like all of the blinkers are taken off. You're like, okay, so that was just a small part of what I am.
Yeah, again, I think they're not for everybody. A lot of people go over as stupid and narrow on the other side, and they don't wake up for a long time on the other side.
Oh, okay.
The problem is that people are so stuck in their beliefs that they are not able to see the unblinding, and that's why they're attracted to souls of similar limited beliefs and live on there for a long time. So not automatically by dying, we get a wider vision. Your father was, but because he was indirectly prepared by you. But many people are just stuck in the way they die, and they just sort of continue the same way on the other side. And it takes a long time and teachings before they change. That's what I hear from my spiritual guide and understand.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that's a part of the coming cycle, then, is when they're stuck in their ways, they get sent back again? Like they have the opportunity to try and work that out?
That could be one reason, but I think it's a minor reason for that. Mm. I think they usually have a chance to somehow get it. It takes time on the other side to adjust and find your teacher there to be able to explain it to you. But I think reincarnation has more powerful reasons. Like usually it's a clearing of karma, which is much heavier than a limited life view. So the souls are returning back to undo the karma which they may have created in this or previous lifetimes. And I think that's, for me and my beliefs, the main reason for most people are here. Not everybody. There are a lot of other reasons why people incarnate. But for most of us, I think, is here to undo our karma, which either to experience it, expiate it, or through forgiveness. These are the only two ways how we can get rid of our karma. And I think that's the most reason. That's where you see the people who are sick, who are ill, who are struggling awfully on this planet everywhere. You just open the newspaper and it's all struggle, pain, and suffering. This is all karma coming back to souls for the most part. I don't want to say for everyone, because there are so many exceptions and so many other possibilities. But the most of the people, I think, are here to go through the... We have to remember, if we have incarnated many, many times, some say 1,000 times, we have lived through horrendous times, Middle Ages. You couldn't go from one village to another without being robbed or raped or whatever. It was a brutal life everywhere around the world for a long time. And we, most likely, were part of those brutal people as well. We were not always the victim. We were often the victimizer. These are all energies. These are negative energies, which are all against the law of love. And eventually they have to be sort of dissipated in some form of way, either through forgiveness or experiencing and not coming back, not as punishment, but for us to understand this is not the way to be truly who I am, which is love. So it's a gentle form of learning karma, as hard as it appears here on this planet Earth, with some people going through horrendous periods of times. But we also have most likely done horrendous stuff to other people in wars and et cetera and in situations. So it's not that unusual to think that maybe we too have been part of this and have experienced it and done this.
Mm. And to think that the people that, say, for example, even alive today, that are actually pushing upon the world really awful things to control everyone, for example, those same people are actually playing a role they're meant to play to help you to wake up to your own karma in different ways as well. So everyone plays a role in the story of the unfolding of the understanding of the biggest and deepest love there is, which is the connection to the source.
Very true. But also, what we not forget, if we have got here in America at the moment a very difficult president, we must
They all are. They're all the same. It's just they're the same. Sock,
no, no.
They're all sock puppets.
There have been
sock
some puppets. Wonderful ones. But
they're still sock puppets.
But we all have contributed. If we can't point the finger really at one person or one system, because we, over generation of generation, have participated in the pollution of the planet, in doing negativity things. It's all added up, and they're basically reaping the negativity which we all collectively have co-created. So we have co-created the situation which now these leaders exploit or use for their goodwill, and maybe on the bigger picture for the release of the negative energy. I agree with you. That is quite possible.
You also collaborated with Byron Katie as a part of your work. How did that shape your approach to presenting spiritual truth?
She is amazing. She's amazing. Her simplicity of it. She doesn't speak much about Zen and so on, and although she has written several books about this one, but her way of solving confusion, problems, with a few questions only, are so powerful. And if you watch her videos, it's just only 4 questions to ask ourselves. And we can suddenly find out that all what we have believed all the time was not true. And because all the suffering we have is because we have fallen, we have chosen a belief system which is not ours. And we fall into it and we think we have to feel that way, but it's not true. Everything is just our own choice. And when we understand that there are alternatives and we can look at a situation totally different, maybe opposite even, and we see that this negative situation may be something positive, as you mentioned earlier, like the leaders are maybe here to release the whole world into a higher vibration, then our whole inner emotional turmoil changes. And I've seen wonders of what she did with these simple questions and on the YouTube. And she's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person. And totally also, what impressed me, so I've been in the workshops and so on and so on afterwards and so on. And she works all on her own and these for days after days, from morning till evening. And then we had lunch together and so on. As calm, as quiet. I mean, I would be pooped after 1 hour. I would be because I come from my ego more. She doesn't come from my ego. When you don't come from your ego, you are not exhausted. And she showed me that. And that's what I find the most impressive thing, that she really comes from a very different level than I would come and many other people's come.
Yeah, that egoless space definitely has a big charisma to it too. So you feel very warmly invited to engage with her and her energy. I went to one of her workshops in Byron Bay a long while ago now, and it was amazing. It was just one day, and everyone was touched just by her words, so simply, as you said. And yeah, very, very, very good day.
Oh, then you know what you're talking about. Yeah, so you had the experience of, yeah.
Oh yeah, it was shockingly simple. That's the thing that got me.
That's the thing. Yeah. And this is also the teachings which I have here. And Gabriele, through whom all this material comes from, she always says, God is ingenious simplicity. Only the churches and all the institutions make it complicated. But this direct way is very simple. Stick with it. And you've come from the Zen, which I think is also a very simple, straightforward path. And so, yeah, it is a simplicity which brings us back to the source. But I interrupted you. You were going to ask a question. I interrupted you. Sorry.
Yeah, no. It's totally fine to interrupt if we've got to get those words in there for sure. So when you work with your images, you actually convert abstract spiritual lore into a single image or short scene. Is there any steps that you take to keep that faithful and simple?
No, it comes in when I read the text, it visually appears, because I illustrate books, and when I read a text, I see how I would illustrate it. And the same is with the story. But sometimes I have to read a text also a few times, even in its simplicity, to really see how can I illustrate this one, how to make it very simple. No, I usually have these images in my head, and not everything works out. I have to redo them and maybe approach the thing from a different angle. But eventually it is something, it gives me great relief when I suddenly draw these things and how simple it all works. It's so simple. Why has nobody taught me this when I was a kid? Because it is all so simple.
Yeah. Like you said, it seems like there is a bit of a desire to make things more complex. And I think that comes from that reasoning mind, or the ego, like you say, the ego mind, to give itself some self-importance, right?
And so, control. I mean, the churches
and control.
do these things to control the masses. That's why you don't give all those secrets away. You just sort of, you come to me and I will save you and I will make sure you get to God, but I don't tell you how to get there. You have to come through me, through my organization. So I think it's a lot of that one. It's control of people.
Yeah, totally, totally. Is there anything that you use to help you to do to decide what to leave out when a truth is way too big for a video that's only 3 to 5 minutes? Is there things that you actually go, oh, this is too big, oh, I have to cut that out?
Yes, I do editing. Yes, of course. Yeah, of course. I've got much longer text and then I cut out things which are not necessary. It's, I definitely, the editing of taking things out, I do. Because a lot of it is also repetitive. It's just, as I said, the basic truth is simple. But I say that in different stories. So karma is related to reincarnation. It all is related, and there is sort of crossover in many ways. But yes, I do edit the things and to try to keep it short. It doesn't work always. Some videos are 12 minutes long and so on, but that's what it is. If the person is interested, they will stay. If not, also good.
Mm. Oh, well, looking at your videos and how many people are watching them, they're definitely staying. So all power to you, I think. Do you have any visual metaphors that you found that you created surprised you by resonating strongly with viewers?
Well, I don't know any metaphor that comes to my mind here, I think, but the one visual... there are some others. I mean, I use it in my video. I use, for instance, the Christ light, which is in us. Being totally aware of it, becoming aware like the God light, and then using that image in my meditation has been extremely helpful. So I'm basically envelop myself in the Christ light, which is in me. The whole kingdom of God is not out there. It's everything is in us. So we have to learn to go within, to connect with divinity. And there I use that Christ light, that flame of Christ, and that does help me to keep out all the negative energies and to be more focused. And in this white light, I also find the purification, the cleansing of my body as well as my soul. And these are kind of visual images which I used in the meditation. Is this what you were asking?
Yeah. Okay, so do you have any like three short everyday practices that you recommend for people who want greater clarity about life and loss?
Well, I really think you start off in the morning basically to align yourself with divinity. That's what I do. I'm not saying anybody can do it differently. This is important for me. Be grateful for the morning and when you wake up, be grateful for the night. Be excited about the new day, what will come, and be open whatever will come and ask for guidance all the time. In many cases, I do also the same kind of a quick review at lunchtime. How was this morning? Did I stay as much as possible on the path I choose, which is the spiritual path? And particularly in the evening, I always have a diary where I write down things which did not work out and what worked out, what I have to do next time. And that is very powerful. The other very powerful tool, which I find helps me a lot, to make a list of everything which I need to do tomorrow or next week or whatever. Not, oh, tomorrow I will go to the dentist and tomorrow I will go to clear up my taxes, etc. Write it down. Physically write down a block of this, all the stuff I have to do, still have to do in the future, whether tomorrow or for next day, etc. That has been the most productive thing I found in my life, because I see this block in the morning and I go through it, and in no time I do check off everything what I have to do. In most cases, doesn't always work every day because there's sometimes more on it. But that is a very powerful tool, because the first step on the spiritual path, as Gabriele teaches us, is order, is to bring order into our life. And that means also how we organize the day. And this is one of the important tools which has been extremely helpful to me, to make a list of when I close the day, what is tomorrow to be done, to write it down, not in my mind, because that goes away and it disappears. But writing it down, basically I commit myself and the next morning I see it and I will do this without even questioning, because it has to be done. What else can I suggest? Of course, the most important thing, whenever I feel a lack of connectiveness with divinity, always go into stillness and in prayer. And then you can, if you live in a way that you can pray loud, do that. I think it's most important to hear our own prayer, to listen to what we say. Because the prayers are the connections and very powerful. And in the prayer is also the word of surrender, thy will be done, not mine, which takes care of my ego. Whenever it comes up that I surrender, it says, okay, I would like to have the green car, but if you give me the blue car, that's fine too. You surrender. So the surrender is, I think, an important point, which I feel in my daily work.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Now, good tips there. I appreciate that. And
I would love to know, what are your three most important tips?
My three most important things. Okay, so one of the things I do absolutely every day when I first get up is I do prayers as well. So I will pray to angels and to spirit for the day, so it opens the right way, and to the planets, which are the rules of the day, because I do it in like a bit of a magical practice. And for me, that sets the tone for the day. You know, I have connected to the energies of the day, so then things will actually run a lot smoother. And I find that works nearly 99.9% of the time. So when I have a thing that's a bit anomalous, it more than likely I'm just going to laugh at it, because it's just it's an interesting surprise.
Yeah.
Right. Now, another thing that I do as a part of my everyday too is I will actually meditate. And I do two types of meditation. Now, one is actually a sitting meditation where I actually consciously sit and just observe my thoughts and let them go till I hit that spot that's in between thought. All right. And I actually had an interview with a guy earlier this week, and he actually made a really beautiful point about meditation too for people that have trouble with meditating. And he said, instead of worrying about all of your thoughts, just observe them. And I said, that's fantastic. He said, and when you're observing them, that's meditation. I said, yeah, okay, people need to hear that, because it's really important, because most people worry about all the thoughts. You don't have to worry about them. Just look at them. Yeah. So that's one of the practices of meditation I do. And another one that I do, I call it a type of meditation called zoning. And what I do is I put on some solfeggio tones, which are tuned to different frequencies. And I usually pick a frequency that takes me into a super deep state. And I use something that I've got from YouTube that I just love. And it allows me to let go in a different sort of way. And when I do, it's like a full day reset. And I usually do that after I do some other work. And so I have a two phases to the day. It's like the first half and the second half of the day. In between those, I have that reset point. And I do a zone where I put music on. It's actually quite loud, but not too loud, but because it's soft music anyway. And it takes me away into a zero point, and it, on average, it's about 12 minutes, and I'm like gone and back, but it feels like I've just woken up to a new day, because it goes so deep. And then at the end of my day, one of my daily practices that I always do is offer gratitude. And I offer gratitude to my ancestors, my angelic ancestors. And then I offer gratitude to all the planets and the spirits and their intelligences and the power that they bring to us. And for example, the sun brings everything. So, and I do those gratitudes. And I offer gratitude to my spirit team, and then to my Thai spirit team, which are a bunch of talisman beings that I work with. And then I offer gratitude to my body for being healthy and happy and rejecting all disease, curses, demons, and all the things that affect me in negative ways. And that way I try to stop that loose farming on myself. So then I keep a nice clear day, and nearly all of the time everything runs quite smooth. And like I said before, is when I have the anomalies, I can often let it just wash over me like water over a duck's back, and just observe it rather than be affected by it. And sometimes it's actually most of the time I find it amusing. I'm like, well, I didn't expect that. That's hilarious, you know.
It's wonderful, CJ. I appreciate it. I'm happy I asked you, because, yeah, meditation is the one I didn't mention. Yes, I do meditate as well. Actually, I've got three or four meditating tapes on my videos, which are going very deep as well. Thank you for mentioning it and reminding that. Tools we can use.
Yeah, there's so many tools we can use. I'm going to listen to your videos on meditation, because I know that, because you have such a calming voice, I think it'd be great to actually sit and listen to you and meditate. So.
<Thank you. laughs>
Now, I've noticed that as a part of your work, grief appears often. Now, what would you say to someone who is afraid that believing in an afterlife will stop them from grieving naturally?
When they what? When they're believing, which,
What do you say to someone who is afraid of believing in an afterlife that actually stops them from grieving naturally? I mean, I think that's an unnatural thing, I mean, personally, but some people, if they're actually afraid of dying, and because of that, they don't want to believe in an afterlife, so that actually makes their grief even deeper because they're like, oh, it's forever end, you know what I mean? Whereas for people like me, it's like, I'm going to see them soon anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, the first thing comes to my mind, if I believe that the other person is no longer there, there's no life out of this, why am I grieving? Because he doesn't experience anything anymore. So basically, he's even aware that he should be sort of not existing anymore. But yeah. No, I think grief is, of course, a very natural reaction when somebody dies and very quickly something new happens, particularly when it happens suddenly. Because we have to adjust it. But all grief is only about ourselves. It's only about ourselves to adjust it. It's selfishness because we don't know what happens to the other person. He or she is on the other side and is taken care of by spiritual guides who will take care of them. And why grief? The grief is only you lost me, because very often we think we own the other person, and nobody owns anybody. But we think we own it, and somebody is taken from me, and it shouldn't be. So the grief is always ours for ourselves. And my great teacher, Dr. Kubler-Ross, always said that people who excessively grieve are people who believe they have not said, "I love you," to the person who has died as long as he or she was alive. So the feeling you haven't verbally said it to the other person can create a tremendous form of grief, because now you think it's too late, which is not true, but that regret is very, very strong, and that can create an excessive grief. But of course, we can always speak to the soul on the other side, although I personally, from the teaching I receive via Gabriele, is not to connect with the other person if possible. Only in rare cases for loving thing, but not to attach ourselves to them. I would do that always via Christ. I would ask Christ, can you please, whatever message I have, a forgiveness or ask for forgiveness to the other soul, and he is an intermediate between the two souls and will make and we pass a message on, so that nobody, you mentioned earlier, people can attach themselves to us. And only because we know the person doesn't mean he may necessarily be spiritually evolved and could maybe use this as a very important way for him to live through our energy and be in our presence. So I would not try to attach myself to the person who has died. But if I've got anything to share with them, I would do that with the Christ energy. That's basic grief. Is basically selfishness. It's basically we cry about ourselves. But I understand we have to go with it because it is drastic change in life. But on the other hand, I hear it happened with my mother when she died, and also with my father. They both were sick for a while, my father, my mother for 2 years. And when she finally died, there was no grief in our family. We were overjoyed for her release. Because
she'd been through so much.
Oh, she had lung cancer, and it was awful to see her kind of that situation. So there was no grief in our immediate family. So we said to each other, let's have a celebration instead of a funeral thing. And then all the aunts and uncles came in. Oh, no, you can't do this. You must have traditionally crying and all that kind of stuff, which we did in the end. But no, there was no grief. And I think a lot of people who have who the partner or the person is dying slowly, adjust to the fact already well in advance. It's very often only when a sudden death comes, totally unexpected, then we fall out of the magnolia tree and wake up, and it is very painful.
There's one thing that I got caught on with what you were saying there before, is that a lot of people grieve because they actually didn't say "I love you" to somebody during the time of life. So that would actually indicate for everyone out there that if they tell everyone that they love them and say so authentically, you're less likely to have all of the drama of grieving.
I tell you, I made my first book, my bestseller was called I Will Always Love You, which was inspired by Dr. Kubler-Ross. And basically the young boy whose dog is dying says to the dog, I love you every day. And then when the dog dies, he is not so upset, but everybody else in the family is devastated. It's a very clear message. And when I make the book, it says, wait a minute, I never said that to my parents, because in Germany, we do not say these things. See, in America, we love everything. We love you, we love the ice cream, the weather, and everything. It's easy in America to say, but in Germany, we never say that within a family. It's assumed, it's understood, but never verbalized. So I wrote a letter at the time before the internet and wrote down, it's sort of, yeah, and very difficult to put it somewhere in that I love them, you know? It wasn't easy. And I send it off, and 2 weeks later, I get a reply and says, thank you so much for your interesting letter, although we didn't quite know what you were after.
But I thought it was transactional.
Yeah. So, fair game. But that was the funny thing. Yeah, so that was the idea. But at least I'd said it. So that was made it easy.
How do you suggest people verify spiritual experiences without getting lost in wishful thinking? Because I know that some of those spirits out there that are, not all of them are happy and healthy and want to be friendly and do the right thing by you. So they can be tricky and start, you know, giving you strange ideas that you should follow. So how do you suggest people verify their spiritual experiences just to make sure they're not tricking themselves?
I would say don't do it. Don't get involved with any spirits. And never mind, even if tempting that everybody is doing now past life regression at spirit medium, everybody wants to become a medium. It's fine if it happens to you. Mm. But going out and doing it on purpose, ask yourself why. Is it to build up your ego? Is it, do you want to tell us, oh, I'm speaking to spirits, I've got a spirit with whom I connect and so on and who I talk? Find out really what is your real motivation, because all the answers are within you. There are, if you connect with Christ, which I believe is in all, each one of us, whether you're Christian or not, it doesn't matter, or with God directly. Why go to someone else when you can go direct to the Father, direct to God? And the replies will come the same way, but this time the replies come from the highest field. I would not attach myself to anybody in the spiritual world. I'm aware of my spirit guide being here right now, and he helps or she helps me in my day-to-day life. But I would not make it an issue to connect with them in the hope I can communicate verbally and hear everything they have to say. I would stay away from it for the very reason you mentioned. You don't know who is slipping in there, because they can pretend to be anybody. Yes. And you are then so bamboozled by it and says, oh my God, Christ is speaking to me. Isn't it wonderful? Does everybody hear? I'm connecting with Christ. If you want to have a message from Christ, just come to me and I will give it to you. There is a lot of ego in here. And I would be very careful about that. But that would be my experience. If people feel very comfortable. I know there are a lot of wonderful mediums who have who actually usually stumbled on it. They didn't search for it. There are a lot of classes where people can learn it, but the people or the mediums I have come across did not went out and says, I want to become a medium. They won't. And as you have said earlier, you met a medium. I wonder whether that medium decided one day, oh, I want to become a medium, or whether she was born with that gift and explored it. There's a big difference, because we have to find out why we want to do this. Because there is a lot of confusion in the spiritual world. They are not all smarter than we are. So have to be pretty careful. And I made videos on spirit possessions, and it is it's a real, real danger. A lot of people are possessed in this world and are used and for the douche energy, as you mentioned earlier. So I'm very careful about that. That's why I put myself in the white light. You do the same thing, I'm sure, can focus on this. Because we do know about these negative forces which are there. But that's only me. If somebody else feels drawn to become a medium to save the world, that's fine with them too. But it's I would just personally stay away with it. And I also would, the same way with astral traveling. There are people who have it automatically. I don't know whether you know Jürgen Seebes' work. He does a wonderful, he is a traveler, but he didn't search for it. He had this wonderful book about where he created AI images about the spiritual realms. Fabulous.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
It's a magnificent book, and it's a great idea on the different levels. He can go there. But he did it. It came to him. He didn't search out, because there are a lot of people also who go through the astral traveling and get hurt and get lost and get major kind of negative influences. So I will be careful. And the same with drugs. People use drugs now to get high image. They go to South America and have all these things. I don't know when you did this, CJ, but I would be careful, because I've spoken to too many people. People who interviewed me, he also says, well, I had two great experiences. The third one was so bad, I had 10 years of therapy and still has afterlife. So we don't know what happens if we force the other side too much into our life. We have enough to do in our day-to-day life from morning till evening. We don't need the other world's exploration. That's how I feel.
Look, I completely agree with you in certain ways there. I had experiences with spirits just naturally for a long time, and I also did not believe that possession could be real until I personally experienced possession. And it was awful. It took me months upon months to kick those spirits out. And it was not good. So I do warn people about that. You know, you've got to realize that if you don't, even if you don't believe in a spirit world that surrounds us, that they still exist and they still have effect upon us. So
the best thing, the argument the devil has, don't believe in me. I mean, that's the best.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Now, talking about your videos, is there any single viewer story that still moves you today, and why?
Any viewer story? Or how did
it's because you put so many videos out. Have you got feedback and any viewer stories that
really affected you? Oh, there are some real fabulous ones. I mean, if you read the things, very touching and so on. Yeah, this is, I usually go there very quick, because otherwise my ego gets too high. So be very careful. But there's a wonderful email I got a while ago from a woman in England, and she said when her father died, she was very close to her father, and she communicated with him all the time. And whenever she wanted to do something, she had a close connection, and she spoke to the spirit of her father, and her father helped her and guided her. Until one day he said to her, "Why don't you just go to the computer and go to YouTube?" And then he spelled my name, Hans Willem, punch it in. She had never heard of me. And she thought it was an opera singer, because her father loved the opera. So she put on my name, and immediately the video on mourning and grieving comes up, which clearly states, let go of the person, because he or she has to move on in the other world. Do not cling to them. And she was just sort of over the top with this. This message is exactly what she needed. And this is how her father told her, let go of me, let go of me. We are both fine. You are fine. I'm fine. And that email is, I think, on my website on the About page, because that basically confirms that the other side is watching me too.
We're all being watched by those spirits. They keep us and keep us on the path.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Do you speak to millions across many cultures? How do you keep your teachings non-dogmatic while retaining clarity?
Well, the teaching doesn't come really from me. It comes all material through Gabriele. We haven't mentioned this. This is a woman in Germany who died last year for 50 years. She has given all these teachings, and you see all these blue books in my background. These are just only some of them, and there's a huge library in Germany called the Sophia Library, where people can Google it and find it, where all her material is stored and recorded. And her teachings is so phenomenal. I've done many other spiritual paths, like you probably too, but I've never found anything as clear, as in total understanding for me, and as deep. I mean, just Christ came through her and gave her, for instance, here, this big book here, the great cosmic teachings of Jesus of Nazareth to his apostles and disciples who could understand them. This is a huge book, with information we have never seen before. And it's not difficult. As I said, it is ingeniously simple. And therefore, the material I'm drawing from mostly is very direct, very straightforward, very profound, and it covers absolutely every aspect of life, from birth to death, from material world too different to all the levels in the spiritual world. So everything is very clearly explained here. And it is also this, her work is not an organization you can join. You don't have to pay anything to benefit from it, except the price of a book, maybe. So there are no teachers in this organization, because it's only the material which should not be altered by teaching people, which is available. And because Gabi says, do not go to other people. The God is in you. Christ is in you. You can speak directly to them, and I have them. So have no other human being or spirit around with you. Go directly to the source. And that is basically where I get my material from, and I feel very comfortable with it, because I've been working with it now for 45 years. And compared to many other paths which I've done in the past, this material has helped me to make certain important changes in my life of habits and ways of seeing things, which really were very important for me, because suddenly I saw everything from a very different perspective, and it just all came together, all like a big jigsaw puzzle. And if you see, and I watch my own videos at times, because I'm the one who has to learn. All these videos are for me to understand. I'm the one who learned from it. So sometimes I watch myself, even if I did them 10 years ago, I says, see, I wouldn't change a word. And so that means that the basis there is still there. I've got only, in all these 170 videos, I've taken only two videos off, because there was some sentence in it which I didn't express right, and to avoid confusion, I took them off. But otherwise, I still stand to what I did 15 years of, 12 years, 10 years, 8 years ago, because the material is timeless.
Makes complete sense. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so she influenced your writings and your videos a lot. Is that one of the only points that actually can, like, changed your mind dramatically, or did you have other influences as well besides her and Byron Katie?
Byron Katie is, this is more for my own spiritual human development. Of course, I had, as a writer of children books and so on, I had a whole world of other writers and so on, which with whom I worked and who inspired me in my work. But I'm coming always back. Most of the books are basically on the very high ethical and moral kind of basis. And yeah, Byron Katie, of course, I took great stuff from Edgar Cayce, Rudolf Steiner. I took even The Course in Miracles was very helpful in many ways. It didn't make any changes in my life, but it helped me to understand certain things. Even The Conversation with God had some truth in it. But they're all part of it. But the best teacher for me is always life. What do I experience right today? I have got a situation, a difficulty with my neighbor, and it really upsets me, etc. And working on this issue, on this belief which I have, that makes the change. And it helps to have all this other information in my background, in my brain. But it's the day-to-day life, the day-to-day challenges, to cope with them in a constructive way. That's the thing which brings me forward. Does it answer your question?
Yeah, it does answer the question for sure. So, in a greater understanding of your videos and process, is there any common mistakes that well-intentioned spiritual videos make that you've observed, and how could they be avoided?
But other people's studio videos?
Yes, because you might have looked at other people's works and stuff and thought, well, okay, well, they're missing the point. So is there anything that you see that's common?
No, there are a lot of spiritual videos out there, and everybody has their own viewpoint. I would not say common. I would say it doesn't agree with my understanding, but whatever that person brings out in their video may be helpful for another person, and it's not up to me to judge that. So even if it's maybe contrary to what I believe, it's there for a reason. If somebody finds benefit from it, that's okay too. I wouldn't tell anybody they are wrong in my perspective. As it says, we all see the world differently. Every human being has a different view perspective. And there may be people who resonate more to their material than to my material. So I believe what I share is right for me. And that's all I stand up for. And if other people feel or they respond to this, that's great. And if they don't like it, that's great too. I have zero interest to convince anybody or missionize anybody. That is the last thing I want to do, because I know if we ever do that, we bind ourselves to these people. And this can have karmic consequences. So I would never want to push somebody onto the spiritual belief that I have. I offer it. Mm. If you like it, it's great. If not, it's also great. The path is to freedom, and I have to let free other people be free, whatever they choose, and say, I hope they let me be free in whatever I choose.
Perfect. Is there anything that you still hope to say or show through your videos that you haven't done so yet?
Well, every day I read when my material, and then so on, I thought, oh, this would make a great video. There is plenty though. There's a plenty.
Plenty.
When work on now, I'm working on on what happens to children when they die, because we here in America have got it's a horrible situation with all this school shooting and so on. So it's a continuous, young children die, and of course the question what happens to them. So that's my next video of explaining what happens to a child soul when it dies. And so there's always something. I mean, I haven't got enough time to make all the videos which I could make, but I don't run out of ideas. No, not yet.
How would you like your body of work to be used by future generations?
Oh, I don't care about my body of work. If they find the books of Gabriele, which is the authentic material, the real material, that's what's important for me. If you, anybody, you can enjoy my videos, do it, but then take the next step if you wish to take any of the books, because at the end of many of my videos, I mention a book from where I take this, and many of these books out there, short books, thick ones, which explains it in much greater detail. And that is basically my secret wish, that if you are interested, go right to the source, because this is source material, which means divine material as I see it. Don't take me, I may be just only the bridge to it. That's it. But I don't want anybody following me as a guru or teacher, whatever, because again, this is all binding. I'm merely showing something which is available. And if you want to know more about it, go directly to the source.
Have you ever been tempted by your ego to be seduced by celebrity because of your work?
I have not had my ego flattered many times when I was writing the children books. I traveled around the world. I give talks in colleges and schools everywhere. So, yes, I did my showmanship, if you want to see. So, personally, that was very ego-flattering, but also very helpful, because I know I've done some good as well, sharing how to create stories and write to many children and students all over the world. That was, in a way, ego-flattering, but it was also awfully exhausting. I was so happy when Zoom came up and I could do these things from my living room and I didn't have to travel anymore. So I was delighted about that one, because I'm up to here with traveling.
Yes.
So, but otherwise, I have not been touched by extreme celebrity kind of... that's not in for me, I think. I'm quite happy where I'm right now.
Nice. Now, for video watchers that haven't seen your amazing works, which one would you recommend as for a first point of dipping their toe in to become fully engaged with your understanding?
Well, I think the most explicit one is a bit longer. It's called The Amazing Earth School, which explains where we come from, why we are here. But there are also other videos. And I really think if they go onto the website and look at all the videos, either on my website, lifeexplained.com, or on the YouTube channel with my name, it's also Life Explained, I think your soul will guide you to the exact subject which you need to know right now. And in that short video, which may be very specific about one little topic, you will see whether this vibrates to you or not. I think your soul will guide you to it automatically if you see all the various topics. You may be overwhelmed by seeing suddenly over 150 videos there, but your soul will guide you exactly to the one which you need to see, and trust your guidance and see it and see how it works. And be open to that. So how I would do that. But otherwise, if you have the time, which is a bit longer, it's called The Amazing Earth School.
I'm subscribed to your channel. I saw that one there last night, but we were watching late. So I was like, well, we're going to watch that one tomorrow. So that's tonight. Yeah. Hans, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Is it already over? It was so fast.
I know. Well, it happens like
no,
that.
No, no.
Thank you. Is there any question that I should have asked that I didn't ask?
No, you did great. I'm so happy I asked you some question about how what you do the other days. I have to learn, I have to do that more as well.
Yeah, I find that I usually guide everyone else's questioning. So it's really good to get some questions back. I like that too.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Now, people can find you on YouTube. And what's your website address?
LifeExplained.com.
Nice and easy. I'll put that in the show notes. And I thank you so much for bringing all of this wisdom to my listeners and watchers on YouTube. And I appreciate all that you've shared here, Hans. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate your invitation. It was great meeting you. Maybe we do it again sometime in the future.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love that. We can go through some of your videos. I'd love that. That'd be cool. All right. I'll just say goodbye to the listeners.
Thank you so much.
What a great episode with Hans. He is such a character, and I'm going to get onto his episode that he mentioned, which is the Amazing Earth School. We saw that there in the list last night, so we're going to definitely watch that tonight. And I want to find his videos on meditation as well, and I might even encourage him to do some more guided meditations because of the way he speaks and his centeredness. It can bring a resonance with that space that you need to feel zero point. And I think that's something that we all search for, is that state of release and happiness. And I'm sure that his meditations would do that. So I'm going to encourage him. So if you've enjoyed today's show, please like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. And if you're on a podcast app, 5 stars, say something nice. And if you think somebody else would enjoy hearing this too, please share it to them today. Thank you very much for listening. Until next episode, it's bye for now.